Welcome back to Press Any Button. It's me, Princess Peach. Oh, I mean Nikki.
And it's me, Eric.
And today we're going to be talking about Super Mario 64. Super Mario 64 is a 1996 3D platforming game developed and published by Nintendo for the Nintendo 64. It is the first Super Mario game to feature 3D gameplay, combining traditional Super Mario gameplay, visual style, and characters in a large open world.
Yeah, an open world.
Yeah.
That was an amazing intro, Nikki.
Oh, thank you so much for writing it.
Yeah, whoever wrote that must be a genius who didn't just copy it off of Wikipedia.
But yeah, so the technical name is Super Mario 64, but I'm probably just going to call it Mario 64 throughout the episode.
What? No, you got to use the full name.
Nah, I'm lazy. And plus, that's usually what I hear people call it. Like, I didn't even know it was actually called Super Mario 64. I thought it was just called Mario 64.
I think a lot of people go to the shorthand Mario 64.
And that's what I'm going to do today. Here to take the shortcuts. That's me.
Well, not me. I'm going to say the full name every time.
Okay. Well, we'll see about that.
All right.
You ready to get into it?
Yeah, let's do it. Super Mario 64 was produced and directed by Shigeru Miyamoto. And you know, Miyamoto is, of course, considered one of the greatest video game producer, director, designers of all time.
Yes, I definitely recognized the name. Can you refresh my memory on what other games he does?
Well, he's done a lot of games, so I'm just going to...
Just a few top ones.
I'm just going to say series of games.
Okay.
Because he's created some really famous series. So he created the Donkey Kong arcade games, Super Mario series, Zelda series, Pikmin series, Star Fox series. He basically helped create some of Nintendo's most recognizable video game franchises and even had a hand at convincing executives at Nintendo to give a little ambitious game called Pokemon a chance.
Ooh.
So dude is responsible for a lot of...
The old school games.
Yeah, a lot of the big game franchises that still exist today.
I think, I don't really know if I've played that many of his games. I've played Donkey Kong a little bit, but obviously I've never gotten that far in that game because it's so hard. And that's just the arcade one. I've never played any of the other Donkey Kong games.
The Donkey Kong Country games?
Yeah, I've never played any of those. Oh
man, those are good. We ought to pick some of those.
And I've never played Star Fox. Is that the? Well, I know that's one that you really like.
Man, we gotta do some more Miyamoto games, man. Star Fox is another really good series.
I've gotta get better at platforming. Like, it is like a sport. I was telling our friend John Cardinal the other day. I was like, platforming is like a sport because you really do need skills. It's not like just anyone can pick up a platforming game and just be good at it. You really have to practice and hone in on those skills and getting all the jumps right and everything. Because if not, you're not going to get very far or it's going to take you a really long time like it did me.
Yeah, you know, you improve the more you play it, the more you play them. But yeah, as I was saying, I could do like this entire episode just about Miyamoto, but I'm going to refrain since we will likely talk about him again in future episodes just because of all the really good games he had hand in Korea.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
All right, so getting into the game itself, we're going to start back in 1993 with the release of Star Fox for the Super Nintendo.
Okay. Whoa, 1993. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, and just judging by what you said already, I guess you've never played the original Star Fox.
No. I know you really like it a lot. How many are there of those games? Like a whole bunch?
Star Fox?
Mm-hmm.
There's the original Star Fox on the Super Nintendo, Star Fox 64 on the N64, and then I think there's one on GameCube that was more like you could go on foot a little bit more.
So there's like quite a few.
There's at least three.
Gotcha. You don't need to know. That's not where we're not really talking about Star Fox, which actually, why are we talking about Star Fox?
So yeah, Star Fox is an on-rail shooter, but it was Nintendo's first game to use like 3D polygonal graphics.
Okay.
And that's different from like kind of like the pre-rendered 3D graphics that Donkey Kong Country uses.
Yeah, because that pretty much just, it looks good, but you can't really do anything like moves wise that's 3D.
Yeah, it's not actually taking place in like a 3D space. You're just using like your 3D program to make images and then render them into like use them as a sprite sheet basically.
Gotcha.
And it looks 3D, but it's actually not 3D.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, back to Star Fox. So the Super Nintendo was not originally designed to be able to handle 3D graphics. So the fact that Star Fox could run on the Super Nintendo at all was really impressive.
Wow, that is pretty crazy.
Yeah, so a special chip had to be included in the game cartridge of Star Fox called the Super FX chip.
Ooh.
In order to make it work.
That sounds fancy.
Yeah.
So was this game really expensive? Like if it had to have its own special chip in it, like I feel like it would be expensive.
I think it was still like $60.
Nintendo and their $60 game price. I mean, will it ever change?
No. $60
forever. As long as it
forever.
Doesn't go up, I guess I'm fine with it. But if it went down, I wouldn't be upset either.
It was during the development of Star Fox when Miyamoto had started to conceptualize a 3D Mario game, which he had codenamed Super Mario FX.
Ooh.
You know, for the FX chip.
Okay.
The Super FX.
So were they planning on this coming out for Super Nintendo?
I believe so, originally.
Okay.
In fact, at the January 1993 Consumer Electronics Show, where Star Fox made its debut, Nintendo's booth demonstrating a talking 3D polygon animation of Mario's head. This 3D animation of Mario's head would return in Mario 64's start screen.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually kind of demoed that kind of start screen Mario head graphic back in 1993.
Did they demo the part where you could stretch his nose and his features out?
I don't know if that was included or not.
That would have been cool and funny.
Okay, so yeah, now we're moving into like the development of Mario 64.
Getting into the good stuff.
Yeah, so the original plan was to do a fixed path isometric game, kind of in the style of Mario RPG.
Mm-hmm. So would that kind of be like Hades?
Yeah, maybe a little bit, yeah.
So they were originally going to make Super Mario 64 for the Super Nintendo?
I believe so.
What would it have been called then? Super Mario?
Well, I mean, the code name was Super Mario FX.
Oh, yeah, I guess they would have just called it that. That makes sense.
After the Super FX chip.
Ooh.
If you're wondering what like an isometric kind of view looks like, think of like Q-Bert. You kind of get that kind of fake three-dimensional feel from it.
Yeah.
But in this case, it would have actually been a three-dimensional game. But they would eventually move to a free-roaming design. Pretty
Is that
amazing.
Just because they started to develop the like Nintendo 64, or they just figured out they could do it with that new graphics card, or what like initiated the change? Do you know?
I'm not sure. My guess is, yeah, they realized they were towards the end of the Super Nintendo's life and wanted to move on to the next console, I think, and maybe make the 3D a little bit better.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm not actually sure what initiated the change.
Yeah. It feels like something would have to happen where they had more memory and more compatibility to do something like more detailed.
They might have found the Super FX chip in itself too limiting.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if you look at probably the only other game I know, which is Star Fox, those are very basic, like, 3D graphics. Like,
yeah.
To the point where you're basically playing with polygons.
Yeah, you can tell. You can see the polygons and everything.
As they were designing this game, they were building a lot of stuff from scratch because, you know, 3D platformers didn't really exist when they started developing it.
Was this the first one?
I think it was the second one, actually.
Okay.
The first one, the first official one got released in 1995, and it was called something. It was something for the PlayStation. It was
okay. Dang, PlayStation was out back then.
Yeah. PlayStation
was crazy. I don't know why.
PlayStation was actually before the Nintendo 64.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, this was a game where, yeah, they didn't have a lot of other games to really look at or copy. So a lot of the stuff they were kind of building from scratch.
I mean, that's okay. Nintendo's kind of used to doing that, right? They're like paving the way all the time.
Yeah. One of the problems they ran into when developing the game was like depth perception. So one of the ways that the team tried to deal with this is by positioning faux shadows directly beneath each object, regardless of the area's lighting. So if you've noticed that every object always has a shadow that drops immediately straight down.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of gives you like when your character is jumping, you can kind of see where they're at.
Oh, yeah.
And when you like when there are other objects, you can kind of see where they're at in relation to the ground a little bit mm-hmm. easier.
Yeah. Yeah, it does help. You know where to jump, you know, like to hit the block and stuff. You just stand where the shadow is.
Yeah.
And jump or whatever.
Yoshiaki Koizumi, the game's animation co-director, described the feature as an ironclad necessity, which might not be realistic, but it made the gameplay much easier.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they tried, you know. It's not going to be perfect. They're like the first people doing it. So I think as the gamer, you're a little more lenient, you know. You're not expecting it to look hyper realistic, especially yeah. back in 1996.
Yeah, exactly. You would definitely sacrifice like, some game realism for some easier like depth perception.
Yeah, I mean, even having a shadow is pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, shadows, man. Where do they come from?
Where do they go? Where do they come from, Cotton Eye Joe?
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So development took about 2 years, from September of 1994 to May of 1996, with about 15 to 20 people working on the game at a given time. So they kind of powered through this game. Super Mario 64 was released in Japan in June 1996, North America in September, and Europe in March of 1997. During its first 3 months of sales in North America, the game sold more than 2 million copies and grossed $140 million. In the U.S., becoming its best-selling game of 1996.
Whoa.
So, yeah. So
that's a lot of money, especially for 1996.
So the game was definitely a hit when it came out. And upon release...
Did it come with the Nintendo 64? Was it one that was bundled with the console, like when you bought it?
Nope.
Okay.
You had to go out and pay an additional $60 after buying your Nintendo 64.
Okay. Well, I was just curious because I know sometimes that can sort of inflate a game's sales if it's bundled with the console, because then people automatically get it. And so, you know, I feel like that's not necessarily realistic, but if you're buying it separately, that seems a little more accurate, or like the numbers are going to be more accurate. Yeah,
and what's nuts is pretty much everyone I know who owns a Nintendo 64 ended up getting the game anyway, so it means they were willing to, you know, spend an additional $60 on the game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I feel like back in 1996, if a game came out and it was really fun, I mean, word of mouth. I mean, that is the best way to get people to play the game when all your friends are playing it, talking about it. And this is a one-player game, so you can't really play with anyone else. So you kind of have to have your own copy of the game, right?
Yeah.
You can play...
Well, you can
play in a party setting and take turns, but you can't play together.
Yeah, but and you can have your own save files, right? I think there's 4 save files on a given game cartridge, so you can have your own game separate from like your brothers or sisters or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Upon release, the game received critical acclaim, getting a score of 94 out of 100 from review aggregator Metacritic based on 13 reviews, and a score of 96 from review aggregator Game Rankings based on 22 reviews. So yeah, the game is still like ranked pretty highly on a lot of the like all time greatest games lists.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of like how influential and how good it really was, like even compared to a lot of the other 3D platformers back then. Like if you look up a list of like 3D platforming games, first of all, like there aren't a whole lot, but like pretty much all the other platforming games, it kind of blows out of the water. Think of like Bubsy 3D. Oh my God, that game was a train wreck. But so like just comparatively, like it was in another class.
Yeah.
That's pretty much my history. It's kind of a short history because...
Yeah, it's a little bit of a short history.
I have a lot of fun facts.
Oh, okay.
6 fun facts.
Whoa, that is a lot of fun facts.
I could have had 7, but I edited one out.
Wow. Way to show restraint.
Thanks. So doing some fun facts.
Fun facts.
Super Mario 64 is one of the first games to feature Charles Martinet as the voice of Mario. This is significant because Charles Martinet would go on to voice Mario in over 100 different Mario games, holding the world record for a video game voice actor playing the same character. Charles Martinet also does the voices of Luigi, Wario, and Waluigi in a lot of those games too.
Awesome. That's pretty cool.
So did you know, that the guy who's doing the voice of Mario back in Mario 64 is, pretty much still doing the voice of Mario in almost every Mario game today?
I did not. I just figured it was like Mickey Mouse, where they had a bunch of different people that could kind of mimic the same sound.
Yeah.
You know?
Nope. It's the same guy.
That's cool. I mean, that's a cool legacy to have. Like, you're basically Mario and Luigi.
Yeah. Mario, he does Mario, Luigi, Wario, Waluigi. He also does some villains. He also does some other side characters. So he does a bunch of voices.
That's awesome.
There's a really cool video where he talks about like his job interview going in and how he didn't really know anything about video games or Mario. And he's like, okay, Italian plumber. And he starts doing this like really goofy accent that he thought kids might like.
That's awesome.
And he was also like the last person to interview that day, so they're like already trying to get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, oh, one more.
That's so funny. And then he did a good job, I guess. They were like, yes.
Yeah,
that's what we want. Silliness.
I think a lot of people, when they heard like, okay, you're an Italian plumber from Brooklyn, a lot of people were going with these like deep accents and stuff, and he kind of went with a higher, more goofy, friendly, mm-hmm. optimistic accent.
Yeah.
And they were just like, yes, that's what we want.
Hey, I can't argue with it. It's perfect, I think.
Yeah. Okay, so fun fact number two. The Boo's faces are based on assistant director Takahashi Tezuka's wife, who, as Miyamoto explained, is very quiet normally, but one day she exploded, maddened by all the time Tezuka spent at work. Which, I don't know, that's the great legacy of overworking your employees, but
yeah, man, I'd be kind of mad if, like, out of all the characters, that's the one that I inspired you to do, like, the evil looking ghost. Thanks a lot.
It's not super flattering, is it?
No. I wonder if she blew up on him again after she found that out.
They probably...
And then he was like, see, I told you.
But yeah, if you look closely at the Boo's faces, it's kind of like you got some eyeshadow, you know.
That's funny.
Going on, but yeah.
Boo's are some of my favorite characters, though.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't be that bad. Boo's are cool. Okay, so fun fact number three. Super Mario 64 had a $20 million marketing campaign.
Whoa.
Which is huge, including videotapes sent to more than 500,000 Nintendo Power subscribers and advertisements shown on MTV, Fox, and Nickelodeon. So that tape they sent out, I think I probably still have that somewhere at my parents' house.
Oh my gosh. Like, wait, did you subscribe to that magazine?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I had the Nintendo Power subscription. I forgot when that ran out, but yeah, I had it for a while.
That's so funny.
So I have.
They sent out a tape, like a VHS.
Yeah, like a VHS cassette tape.
And the shipping for that alone had to be so expensive.
Oh, I'm sure.
VHS tapes aren't very light.
Nope.
That's crazy.
I just remember being so pumped, like from seeing the tape of it, because the game looked incredible. Like, you know, it looked like nothing I had ever seen.
We gotta find that. That'd be awesome for one. But for two, didn't you say that they sold $20 million worth of games, or did they sell 20 million copies of the game?
They sold $140 million.
Oh, crap. I was way off.
In the first three weeks.
$140 million?
3 months. First 3 months, yeah.
I don't know why. I thought you said $20 million. That's why I was like, oh, that'd be $60 million today. But $140 million? Holy moly.
Yeah.
Okay, my bad. I thought you said $20
million. So, yeah, their advertising marketing budget was way covered by what they made.
Oh, yeah. But, like, still, $20 million and they sold $140 million. I would say that's a pretty good return.
Yeah, and that's just the first, you know, it continued to sell after the first 3 months.
Oh, yeah, so. That's true.
So they made more than $140 million, but yeah.
I wonder how much of it was spent on just sending those VHS tapes out to everybody, because that had to have been so expensive.
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay, so fun fact number 4. Me and Nikki watch this YouTube series where we have, like, the design and usability expert named Dan Formosa. And he does this, like, he tests these, like, kitchen gadgets and stuff. And he does this left-handed oil or off-handed oil
oh,
test.
Oh, yeah, the kitchen gadget guy.
Yeah, kitchen gadget
guy. Yeah. He's been designing kitchen gadgets for like 40 years.
Yeah, so what he'll do is like he'll oil up his left hand and then he'll like try to use the gadget like kind of the opposite way he would normally use it and to try to highlight flaws in the object or gadget.
Okay. Did he make a YouTube video about Nintendo 64 controller?
No.
Oh.
Well, apparently Miyamoto has a similar test he encourages young developers to do, which is to switch place of their dominant hand on the keyboard or controller to try to create the experience of an inexperienced player.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, to try to get your mindset, because by the time when you're testing a game a lot and you're playing it, you're getting really good at it, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, he wants you to try to, like, put yourself in the shoes of someone who's not necessarily that great at it. Like, can they still have fun with it? Mm-hmm. Like, is there still challenges for them? That kind of thing.
Yeah, I wonder how hard that is to do. That's probably why they have video game testers, too, because, I don't know, if you've worked on a game for so long, I don't know how you could take your mind back, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's the crazy thing about, like, Miyamoto's early games and stuff. He didn't really have testers. Mm-hmm. He would mostly just test them himself, and then he would let his family and friends test them, too.
Hey, those are testers.
Yeah. I guess that's true, but yeah. It was more just like him doing stuff.
It was more casual than like having a paid employee that's their job.
Yeah, exactly. But I thought that was kind of cool. Yeah. Just switch your hands, try to get your mind into what an inexperienced player would do. Yeah. Like I said, because you're developing a game, you're getting really good at it. And that player that's picking it up for the first time isn't going to have that level of experience or skill.
I think they should have used the left-handed oil test for the controller. The Nintendo 64 controller could be better.
Yeah, it's okay. It had it did have a joystick on it, which is important for 3D.
But the joystick was so slick. Imagine using the controller with oiled up hand. You wouldn't even be able to move the joystick because your thumb would just be sliding all over it. There's like no grip on that thing.
I'll say this is before like they really even had joysticks on controllers.
Yeah. Or thumbsticks. Excuses.
No, I'm joysticks.
Just
actually
kidding.
Thumbsticks.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. We all know what you're talking about.
Okay. So, fun fact number 5.
Woo!
Original plans for Mario 64 actually called for multiplayer that would allow users to play as both Mario and Luigi in split-screen format.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Ultimately, this proved too difficult of a task for the hardware, and the idea was dropped. But there actually exists a ROM hack that attempts to add the split screen using the game. There are actually game resources for Luigi within Mario 64. Like, they had actually, like, if you go through the cartridge, they actually found, like, his, like, kind of sprite and stuff like that.
That's cool.
But, yeah, it's just one of those things that the... It was too much for the hardware at the time to be able to handle.
It'd be cool if they could remaster it and make it two-player how they did the Super Mario game for the Wii. You know how you would be on the same screen, and then if you got too far away from each other, the other person would just show up in a bubble, and you'd have to pop that bubble.
Yeah.
And so, like, you could still play together, but you didn't have to have a split screen. You could just be on the same screen. Kind of like Bubble Bobble or, like, whatever.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
And that's kind of what they did in their later games.
But this one specifically would be cool.
I agree with
that. And fun. I always miss Luigi when he's not around. He's my favorite.
Yeah, he definitely needs to be in this game, I feel like. Okay, and fun fact number 6.
Oh, the last fun fact.
Unless you want that bonus fun fact.
Oh. Okay. I don't know. Let's see how good this one is.
Okay, so I talked about a Mario 64 ROM hack in that last fun fact.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there are literally hundreds of Mario 64 ROM hacks.
Oh, I'm sure.
From simple graphic and gameplay hacks all the way to entirely new games with different levels and graphics. A fan site for Mario ROM hacks, SMW Central, lists 139 ROM hacks for Mario 64.
And that's not even all of them, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure there's more than that.
Because this game came out, I mean, before the internet got really big. So I'm sure some people created them and they're on like a zip drive or something somewhere, like a floppy disk or something.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. But I mean, this game's old, so, I mean, people have had a lot of time to get creative with it.
Yeah, but I think I remember playing one, and it was like a whole new game. The only thing that was the same was like how you control Mario, like all the levels were different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's kind of nuts what people do.
That's pretty neat.
So, yeah, that's all my fun facts.
Yeah, good job, babe. Those are some good fun facts.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's plenty more fun facts about this game.
I could have done all my fun facts about Miyamoto.
Oh, yeah. And plus all the glitches that people found in this game. It's kind of nuts.
Oh, yeah, man. There are a ton of glitches in this game. I actually found a glitch when I was a kid. And
what?
I was like super proud of it.
Oh, my gosh.
So after you get 120 stars and you unlock the cannon in the main outside the castle and stuff, you can shoot yourself to the roof.
Okay.
There's a flying cap up there so you can kind of fly around the castle and stuff. I think if you go up to towards the top of the castle, you can actually kind of get into the doorway
like
from the outside without actually going through the door.
Okay.
So that you're on the other side of the door. And if you go through it, like you'll go into the castle, but you'll be on the outside.
Whoa.
Yeah,
trippy.
Kind of cool.
Yeah. That's crazy.
It didn't really do much besides that. But yeah, I thought it was really super cool at the time.
Yeah. Like we were watching this video. I guess there's something called zero star speed run for this game.
Oh yeah, there's 120 star, a 70 star, a 16 star, a one star, and a zero star.
Yeah, so we saw this guy beat the whole game with zero stars, which pretty much is all glitches.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because that's the only way. But it was pretty crazy. I'm just like, how do people find these? You know, like how do you have time to just try to jump through every part of every wall or like back jump? Like, I don't know. This is crazy how people find these things to me.
The way they were doing it was like backwards long jumps where you can like kind of get like a series, a fast series going and you can build your momentum like really fast. So, yeah. So you basically like, glitch through, through walls and doors and stuff. It's pretty nuts.
All right. So Eric, I know this is one of your favorite games, right?
Yeah.
And you've played it a bunch of times.
I mean, I played this game to death as a kid.
So what are some things you liked about this game, or that you like about this game?
So yeah, Mario 64 literally set the bar for 3D platformers before 3D platformers really even existed. It's a very good game that I played to death as a kid. So just a fair warning, my nostalgia goggles are on full display.
Did you and Austin play this game together?
Yeah, we trade off trying to get stars and stuff like that.
So you'd play on the same campaign?
A little bit, yeah. I think we started off with our own and maybe kind of merged together as the game got harder.
Yeah, teamwork.
And I'm going to appreciate your viewpoint here because you don't have the same nostalgia goggles I have.
I don't.
And you'll probably end up comparing this game to more modern 3D platformers, which probably play a little bit better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, when I was growing up, I didn't really have that many gaming consoles, and I don't think we ever had a Nintendo 64. So the first time I played this was probably at a friend's house or something, and I think I only played it, I mean, maybe once or twice, like, at that person's house.
Yeah.
So I may have jumped in a couple paintings and maybe gotten a couple stars, but that would have been my extent of playing this as a kid.
Gotcha.
So yeah, I have a fresh point of view on this game.
Fresh point.
Which might make some people upset, but we'll see.
That's fine. So yeah, one of the things I liked are the controls. Like, obviously, controls are super responsive, really good. No input lag. The game runs extremely smoothly. Controlling Mario is fun, even when you're not playing a level and you're just messing around in the castle.
Yeah. The controls were kind of difficult for me. Some of the jumps I couldn't quite figure out the timing on. Mm-hmm. And I tried a lot of different ways to figure out the timing, and I could never get it quite right. I feel like every time I got it right, it was just a fluke. I never figured out like exactly what the method was.
What jumps did you struggle with the most?
Okay, like the triple jump one.
Yeah, triple jump is a hard.
I tried doing it fast. I tried doing it slow, and it would only work randomly for me. I still don't even know how exactly to get it to work.
It's all about timing your when you hit the ground, you have to hit jump at the right time to get that second jump. And you pretty much have to go full into the air, so you can't really do it super fast. I don't think. Well, it also depends on your momentum, because you can't do a triple jump standing still unless you have the wing cap on.
Yeah. See, it's even complicated talking about it, so I'm kind of like surprised that you put that as a pro.
The controls?
Yeah.
The controls are great in this game. There's, you can go so fast with the controls when you get good at them. It's a matter of
that's
like,
the key, when you get good at them.
Yeah, and that's what makes this a fun game, is you have that bar. You can get to that level of being good.
Yeah,
you just
that's
have
true.
To you just have to practice with it and work with it and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, you have to really want to be good at this game, because it does take a lot of practice to get all of the moves down.
Yeah, that's true. So what's something that you liked about
it? I think this game is really fun and funny. It's a really cool concept too. You're jumping into these paintings, and each painting is a whole new world with its own elements. You know, some of them have lava, some of them have water, some of them have hills, some of them are snowy, all that kind of stuff. And it makes it's a really fun game.
Yeah, I agree with that. So yeah, the castle is basically kind of like your hub world, where you can kind of like roam and explore.
Yeah, it's your home base.
Yeah, and you don't really have to worry about enemies or anything, except for maybe like the booze in the garden.
Yeah, but not really.
Yeah, and then you go into the levels, and that's where you get into like the hard stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you always have that kind of time to break, where you can just kind of chill in the hub world and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always love that dynamic of being able to go back and forth.
And I say funny because I love that if you don't move for like 2 seconds, Mario just falls asleep wherever he's standing. And if you let him sleep for a while, he starts talking in his sleep, and it's really cute. He's just like, ravioli. You know, like whatever. I forgot what all he says. It's like, Mamma Mia, I don't know. But he just starts talking in his sleep, and it's like, does he have narcolepsy in this game? Because like, I only was standing still for 2 seconds.
Yeah, he's
why
already,
did
yeah.
you need to fall asleep? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Miyamoto wanted Mario to like kind of like have the full range of emotions, like getting into that 3D plane. Or that the 3D realm, you wanted Mario to have, like, be able to display everything.
Gotcha.
And I think
sleeping.
Charles Martinet did some improv around what he would be dreaming about.
Ravioli. That's the one that I remember. Ravioli. I'm like, okay, raviolis are good. I also like that each level has more than one star. So I feel like in your traditional Mario games, you play it through it one time, and at the end, you get whatever the prize is.
Yeah.
For this, there's really no end of the level, per se. I guess once you catch all get all the stars that are available, that would be kind of the end. But, yeah, since it's more free-roaming, it's not linear. It's not a linear timeline.
Yeah, there's, like, almost always, like, different paths in each level and stuff like that. So you can go explore this area, explore that area, you know.
Yeah, and each level has like 6 stars, right? Do they all have 6, or does it vary?
They all have 6 of like the main stars, and then there's always a 100-coin star.
Oh, okay.
So if you get 100 coins, you get kind of like this extra star for the level.
Which sounds like it wouldn't be that hard, but
it actually is
pretty hard, because there's not that many coins.
There's not that many coins, and then in order to get all the coins, you pretty much have to transverse the different areas of the stage, which can be kind of difficult.
Yeah. What's something else you like, Eric?
So I liked all the secrets in this game. Like, as a kid, man, like, you figure out how to drain the moat. Like, you found, like, a secret area or level, like the shifting sandlands, which is like that. It's not a painting. It just looks like a wall that you can jump into.
Oh, yeah.
Or Mips the rabbit that just kind of like randomly shows up that you can chase down. Stuff like that.
Stupid,
like,
stupid rabbit.
Yeah, he's kind of tough to get.
It took me like 10 minutes to catch him.
Yeah. But it was stuff like that that really like made this game super cool as a kid. We're just like, oh, like, what's this random rabbit doing here? Like, what's like, oh, I found this like hole in the wall that gets me into a secret area or something like that, you know?
Yeah, there's lots of secret passageways and stuff.
Yeah, you really kind of like, as a kid, it's just so fun to explore that castle.
Yeah, that castle is pretty cool. Whenever we get to go to Super Mario Land or Nintendo World or whatever it's called, the amusement park that's all about Nintendo, I wonder if they have that castle there. That'd be cool to explore in real life.
Yeah, that's their version of the Disney castle or whatever.
Yeah, that'd be so neat. Another thing I like is how creative all the levels are and how they're all so different. You know, I kind of mentioned earlier, you know, you have snow levels, water levels, but they all have their own enemies. They all have their own objectives, their own layouts. Yeah, they're all like really different, I think.
Yeah, and here's another bonus fun fact that I just now thought.
Bonus.
So originally, so there are 15 courses in the game, not including like the Bowser levels or anything, or the secret areas with like the hats and stuff. But yeah, so there are 15 courses. Originally, the plan was to have 40 courses.
Whoa, that's a lot more.
Yeah.
I guess that was too much.
Yeah, it was a bit too much for the development team.
Yeah, I wonder if they just decided to put more stars in each level instead of making each level have one star.
I think they ended up removing some courses later on, too. I think they had more than 15, and they ended up backing it down to 15. Hey. Just because they wanted better levels as opposed to more levels.
Quality over quantity. That's what I always say.
Yeah, I agree. So one of the things I do like is, I know you were struggling with them, but man, I really love all the different jumps you can do. It really makes getting from point A to point B a lot of fun. So yeah, you have double jumps, triple jumps, back flips, side flips, wall jumps, dives, ground flips, long jumps, backwards long jumps, like
ground pound.
Yeah, this game is like playing a piano. It's easy to pick up, but difficult to master.
Yes.
If you watch some of the high-level speedrunners, it's pretty nuts how fast they are and how many different techniques they use.
Yeah, it's crazy. And that's why I say this, that you have to have a lot of practice to get good at this, because there are so many different jumps and stuff you can do, and they all have different... It's all, you know, you have to do them differently.
Yeah, different mechanics.
So I can see why you like that. It gives you a variety, but also you're really good... at platforming, and something that takes you half a try to get, you can get something in like half a second. It will literally take me 50 tries to get that same thing. And you saw it. I was trying to do this one move to just simply get up to the next level, and it involved like a wall jump and then a triple jump and then another wall jump.
Yeah.
And it took me how many times to get it?
I mean, it's tough. It takes that one takes me a lot of tries to get to.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not trying to make me feel good.
Yeah. I mean, it's a hard series. Like that star in particular on that snow level. Yeah. That one's tough.
But yeah, there's definitely stuff. I feel like you and like some of our other friends just get it like that. Like, it's so easy.
Well, I feel like it seems that way just because you missed all the struggle with this game.
That's true. I mean, you guys just struggled when you were a kid, and now I'm in your spot when you were a kid, but I'm an adult.
Yeah, that's exactly
right. You don't
right.
learn as easy when you're an adult. When you're a kid, it's, you know, you pick stuff up a lot quicker, I think.
Yeah.
But as an adult, you know, it's a little bit harder to learn new stuff. Which, I'm not saying I can't learn it, but it's already difficult for me. Like, my brain doesn't necessarily process exactly what I did to get that thing. So it's hard for me to be consistent sometimes with the jumps because, like, I don't exactly even know how I did it.
I gotcha. I'll say, like, there's a reason that, you know, I've gotten 120 stars and I'll still occasionally want to pick up this game and play it.
Yeah.
Just because the platforming is so much fun to me. And because there's so many different ways of going from A to B, and, you know, you can do dives and jumps and, like, long jump, you can do all this stuff.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, I've already said this game is fun. I still think this game is fun. It's just definitely a challenge for me.
Yeah.
It's not easy. So.
No, I got where you're coming from.
I also like that you can save in this game, unlike a lot of the Mario games before, where if you got game over, it was like, oh, well. You better start all the way back from the beginning. At least this one, you can save after every star. So you don't have to start all the way over from 0 stars if you lose all your lives, which is needed. I don't think many people could beat the game if you couldn't do that.
Yeah, and this game is long enough. I am glad they did that, where they added the save function after every star. So you'll never have to repeat getting a star ever, unless you forget to save.
Yeah, which I don't know why you would not save, but I was very diligent about saving after every single star.
Yeah. Any other pros?
No, I think that's all I got on my list for the pros. What do you got for your cons? Do you have anything?
I just have one con, and this is going to be a con for pretty much any 3D platformer of that era.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, there just isn't a good camera angle for what you want to do. And controlling the camera the way that you want isn't always possible. This was solved in the next console generation of games with the addition of the second thumbstick. But these early 3D games almost always have camera issues.
Yeah. So I have quite a few cons. I mean, not a whole bunch, but a lot more than just one.
Okay, yeah. That's fine.
So my first one is, which is kind of what we were just talking about, is this is a difficult game for people that are new to platforming games. Like for me, this is kind of difficult. So sometimes I can make certain areas not as fun because I feel like I'm having to work too hard at the mechanics to where it kind of takes away from the funness a little bit.
Yeah, and some of those stages are super punishing too. Like if you go too close to the edge, you know, you die or like instant death, like in a lot of stages, like you fall off the edge of the stage.
Yeah, and like that one, was it the Bowser slide or what was that slide level that I couldn't even get past the first turn?
Oh, and the snow level? The first, I forget the name of the snow level.
Yeah, but there's this one level where pretty much you're just on a slide the whole time.
You go into the chimney and there's a slide within the level.
Yeah, and I tried probably, 20 times and I couldn't even get past the first curve without falling off.
Yeah, I'll say as a kid, like that, learning how to slide on that stage, it takes some time, like just to get... to realize the amount of speed you need to get through some of the turns. Like you actually do need some speed to get through some of the turns.
Yeah. And so I recognize that back in the day, there was sort of like strategy behind making games hard because you didn't have enough space to make the game long. So you had to figure out a way to give the gamer their time with the game. So you'd make it more difficult, so they'd have to play, you know, that way. But nowadays, I'm so used to having, like, an easy mode option or something like that, so that if the game gets too difficult or gets too difficult to where it's not fun, then you have the option to go in and kind of, like, make it easier if you want. And maybe that's just a privilege I have because I started gaming later on.
Yeah.
When technology was already pretty good. So I never had to kind of deal with some of that old school gamer stuff.
I feel like for platformers in particular, like an easy mode is a lot harder to implement.
Yeah,
because
I can see that.
Because you're essentially trying to change the platforming a little bit. I think the difficulty is something that they didn't have a lot of experience making these 3D games too. So this is like one of their first ones. So they're still trying to figure out, you know, what's possible, what they can do.
True. Another thing I thought was that it's not very obvious where all the stars are. in the level.
Some of them are not obvious at all.
Like, yeah, so how would you know where they are back then before the internet was really a big thing? How would you know?
Strategy guides.
Did those come with the game, or would you have to buy them separate? Oh, you'd buy separate?
It. Yeah, you'd have to buy it separate, yeah.
Ugh, that would suck. You're already spending $60 on a game, and then you'd have to spend what, like another $20?
Yeah, probably something like that.
For a strategy guide?
You could also, if you were subscribed to Nintendo Power like I was, you get some of that stuff in the Nintendo Power magazine.
Yeah. I feel like some of that is... what's the word, classist in a way, because if you don't have a lot of money, like even getting the game itself is probably all you're gonna afford. Like my mom, there's no way my mom would have bought me this game and bought me a strategy guide and bought me a subscription to a magazine all for like Nintendo. That just wouldn't happen. So if I was playing this as a kid, I'd probably have to get with my friends and be like, where's this star and where's this star? And that would be kind of
Yeah. Well, difficult. The thing is, though, in order to beat the game, you really don't need to find every star.
Yeah.
You
only that's true.
You only need 70 of the 120. So, yeah, some of those, like as you're a kid, you're going through, you're just like leaving a bunch of blank stars around because you don't understand the clue. You don't know where to find it. And sometimes you'll get a little bit more persistent and you'll try to explore more of the level and find it that way. But yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, some of those hints are pretty vague.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, trying to figure out where in the stage and what the stage is referring to is actually pretty difficult.
So when you got all 120 stars, did you have to have help with that or did you find all the stars on your own?
I definitely looked up on the internet, yeah.
Oh, okay. So you didn't beat it when you were a kid? Or get all the stars when you were a kid.
I mean, the internet was, I would say...
It was around, but...
I mean, the later years of Nintendo 64, definitely it was around.
Yeah.
For sure.
Okay. Another thing. Sorry. I hate when video games do not give me the option to switch inverted controls to not be inverted. Because my brain... cannot do inverted controls. It does not work like that. Like I can never remember the down is up and up is down. Like it just makes no sense in my brain why anyone would want inverted controls ever. Like why would you not want up to go up and down to go down? Why do you want to make it complicated for yourself?
You want to make it more like you're flying a plane, you know, like
why is it like that for flying a plane? Are we trying to crash planes? To me, I do not understand.
Well, if the plane's going down, it's a lot harder to like push forward on the joystick than to pull back on it.
Okay. I guess that sort of makes sense. But we're in a video game, okay? I just want up to be up and down to be down. My brain does not do inverted controls very well, and I just always mess it up. And it's like, at least give me the option to switch it. Like if other people like inverted controls and your brain can do that, power to you, go be a pilot. But my brain, I have such a hard time with that. I also think game overs in this specific game are stupid.
Yeah, lives and game overs in this game make they just like kind of waste your time a little bit.
Yeah, literally the only thing that happens is you have to start outside of the castle and run back in the castle. Like,
I will say,
don't lose any of your stars.
I will say, though, that like that can give you a chance to reset and go to a different level.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I feel like that's the game, what the game is trying to say. Like, okay, you really suck at getting this star. Maybe try a different, that way you're not so frustrated in getting that one star.
I mean, that should be up to you. I don't know. It just seems kind of like they put it in there because all the games have it. Extra but they didn't think of really the point of it for this game. And that's basically all I've got. Just those small amount of cons.
That's fair.
I'm not going to be too nitpicky on some of the technicalities of the game because I know it's the time. You know, if this game was made this year, it wouldn't have any of that. You know, like you said, some of the angles are weird. Some of the scenes, it blocks your view. Something will get in your way.
Yeah.
Some of the controls are a little stiff. like you could have more control with your turns and stuff could be tighter, I guess. Mm. I guess I'm thinking of that one level where you're, well, there might be more than one part, but the part where you're hanging on to that owl and you're trying to turn.
Oh, yeah.
And it's kind of like you can't quite turn very sharp. And I feel like an owl would be able to turn sharp. So.
Well, it's also an owl carrying a plumber.
Okay. That's fine.
Yeah, I agree with that. That owl part is kind of like, it's really tough to position the owl, right?
But yeah, some of it's just like, it was 1996. So you can't, I feel like I can't really put that as a con because that was the best that they had. So
yeah, I agree. All right, so getting into strategy.
Oh, God.
What kind of strategy stuff do you have?
All right, number one strategy, pull up a walkthrough.
Yeah. It's not a bad one.
Or have someone that's beat the game a whole bunch of times, like Eric, sit with you and can tell you where all the stars are.
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, every star is different. Like, every course has 6 stars plus the 100 coin star. Mm-hmm. Among the 6 stars will be an 8 red coin star, which I'll usually try to do at the same time as the 100 coin star because you'll have to transverse the stage for the 8 red coins and... when you're getting 100 coins, you pretty much have to go all over the stage too. So
yeah,
it's easy just to like, and that's,
it depends. Sometimes the red coins are all like in one spot.
Yeah, that's true. And if that's the case, I'll just go ahead and get those separate. But it's also nice that the 100 coin star, like it doesn't kick you out of the level.
When you really?
Get that. Yeah. So you can gather that one and then gather the 8 red coin star.
Okay. So you could get 2 at once.
Exactly.
Ooh, I didn't know that. I never got 100 coin star.
Yeah.
When I was playing.
So, yeah, your different jumps are basically your tools for solving problems on stages. So getting good at the different jump types is pretty important.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say the most important jumps are the side flip and the long jump.
I don't think I use the side flip at all.
Yeah, side flip, you can almost get as much height as a triple jump.
Wow.
And do it in a much smaller area.
Dang.
So side flip is super handy. Yeah, and then the long jump is like, for both speed and for those longer jumps. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think almost every stage has a cannon that you can unlock by finding the pink bomb guy after getting the first
every
2 stars.
Stage?
There are some stages I don't think have cannons, but most stages do.
Huh.
And this is pretty important for getting around the rest of the stage. So yeah, you basically get the first couple stars and then you find the cannon guy and lock the cannon.
Gotcha.
And then you can quickly and easily get around the rest of the stage.
Yeah, because some of those stages are pretty big. If you're just trying to run around, it could take you a while.
I'm trying to think of stages that don't have the cannon, like that fire stage. I don't think that has a cannon. The metal stage. Yeah, that one definitely doesn't have a cannon. Yeah, there are some stages that don't have
cannons. Yeah, what about the sunken ship stage with the eels? Does that have a cannon?
Yeah, that has a cannon on the surface.
What?
Yeah.
I never found that one. Dang, so much I haven't found yet.
Yeah. So did you have any strategy stuff?
I don't know if my strategy for this game is a good strategy. I don't really know if I even had any strategy except try not to die.
That seems to be a reoccurring strategy. Yeah, don't die.
Yeah, I don't know. Other than using all the different kinds of jumps, I'm not really sure what kind of strategy you would have, except maybe how you get the stars.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to just get all the stars from one level and then move on to another level, or if you want to just get the easy stars from all the levels.
Well, some of the stars are going to be locked by things you have to do in the castle.
Yeah.
So, like, you have to get a certain cap, like a wing cap or a vanishing cap or a metal cap or something like that. So, yeah, you're not going to be able to go through each stage and just get every single star right away.
Yeah. So much stuff to know for this game.
Yeah, you just have to be an expert like me.
Yeah. So easy.
So easy. All right. So what about the future of Mario 64?
I didn't really see anything. There's not, like, a new Mario 64 game coming out or anything like that.
You know,
or a movie or a TV show.
There is a Mario movie coming out. Starring Chris Pratt.
Well, I meant a Mario 64 movie.
I mean,
that's
very specific. I think a Mario franchise, yeah, there's a big movie coming out.
Although I think this one would be a cool one to turn into a movie. Because just jumping in the paintings would be a cool concept. I could see that working.
Do you see Chris Pratt playing Mario?
Not in live action, maybe.
Well, it's a 3D animated movie, I think.
Yeah, it is. So it's just his voice.
Yeah.
So that I don't think that's as bad, but if they were doing a live action one, he looks nothing like Mario. So I don't really see that.
He doesn't have that plumber body, does he?
No, he doesn't even have dark hair. I mean, they'd have to dye his hair, and then I don't know. I think they could, it would just be better to find an Italian actor or something.
Yeah, I agree. So there was recently a super high quality sealed copy of Mario 64 that sold at auction last year.
What?
For $1.5 million.
What? So it was an unopened copy?
Yeah, super high quality, like unopened. Yeah, $1.5 million, which is crazy to me considering how well the game sold and how many copies are out there. The game itself is not expensive to pick up, like on eBay. You can get it for like 10 or 20 bucks. Mm-hmm. For the cartridge only, anyway.
But it's probably opened, played with.
Well, that's how you. That's why you get it.
Got people spit on the thing, you know.
People just spitting on the game before they sell it to you.
Well, you know how they blow out the cartridge.
Yeah,
your
I know.
Spit gets all up in there when you do that.
Do that for Nintendo. You only did that for the original Nintendo cartridge.
Oh, you don't do that for 64.
No, you didn't do it for Super Nintendo. You didn't do it for N64.
My bad.
The only ones that would
see this is showing how I didn't have one of these when I was a kid.
The only one you would need to do that for was the original Nintendo.
I don't know why I was thinking, but yeah, did it for all of them. I don't know.
That's the thing though, like it sold super well. Right. So like,
do you have any unopened video games?
No, because you would want to play them. Why would you not open them? But I'm just saying, like, it sold so well, like, to me, like, why, like, there's got to be more like unopened copies somewhere out there that exist. You know, they sold like millions.
Then where are they?
They sold millions of copies of this game, though. So, yeah, I don't know.
Do you know who bought it?
No.
Was it someone famous?
I have no idea.
It'd be funny if it was like, I don't know.
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt. I was thinking, trying to think of that dude's name. He was like a YouTube star, and he spent all that money on that one Pokemon card. Like Ron Paul or Paul...
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't hear about that.
Anyways, yeah, apparently he bought like this really expensive, exclusive Pokemon card, and he like had it made into a necklace and everything. And then it came out that it wasn't even real. But he had like beat the record of the most amount spent on this kind of card. And then, I don't know, it's kind of funny, but it'd be funny if he bought this one too. He was just trying to buy all these old things. Be random.
Okay, so the most recent version of Mario 64 to be released was the 35th anniversary 3D All-Stars, which also had Mario Sunshine and Mario Galaxy packaged with it. It came out last year on Switch and only sold for a limited time.
Why would you only sell it for a limited time?
So they can make money off of fans who are waiting for it to go on sale, but know it's never going to go on sale.
So you
can still extract that $60 from them. Nintendo's evil, man.
They're evil sometimes.
And I'll say this was in 2004, but there is a cool version of Mario 64 that came out for DS, which added some additional stars, levels, and playable characters that added Luigi, Wario, and Yoshi you could play as to the original Mario 64 game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called, Super That's Mario cool. 64 DS.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a mouthful.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought that
did
was...
Did you have that one?
I did play it a bit, and I do remember playing as some of the other characters and how they controlled differently and stuff. And they added some extra little, like, levels and stuff and extra stars. It was kind of neat what they did.
Cool.
I thought it was cool. Yeah, that's all my future stuff. And yeah, in the movie, but who cares about that?
Not me. F that movie. Just kidding. I'll probably go see it.
Yeah, I don't know. I had really low expectations for Sonic, and that well exceeded them.
Exactly.
So maybe Mario would be okay. Or maybe it will just be horrible.
The key is to go in with really low expectations.
Yeah.
That way, if it's anything slightly better than that, you're like impressed.
Yeah.
You know, that's my strategy.
Chris Pratt is going to do great. I'm sure all the other Charlie from It's Always Sunny is going to be a great Luigi.
Charlie Day. I think he will be a good Luigi.
Yeah, actually that's probably going to be
he's really funny.
The best like part him. Of the movie, I think.
The cast seems really good, so I don't know. I kind of want to go see it.
Wait, didn't they have Seth Rogen as like Donkey Kong or something?
I think so.
I don't know. It could be good.
So, Eric, are you dying to know if I beat your challenge?
Yeah, I'm really hoping that you say you got 69 stars.
I'm sorry to disappoint you and let you down. Please don't divorce me.
You couldn't even get 69 stars in 2 weeks.
I couldn't even get 69 stars. I got 24 stars. And that took me a really long time to do. So
yeah, I might have made this one a tad too hard. I didn't really think about it.
If this was a challenge for you, if this is a challenge for like John Cardinal, Michael Cardinal, any of our friends that played this game a lot, yeah, that would be such an easy challenge for you guys. But for someone that's never played the game before, really, yeah, definitely I need more time to get 69 stars. So it sucks too. I really wanted to get 70 so I could beat the game, but
yeah,
I am not good. I'm not good. It takes a lot of work for me to get these stars.
Yeah,
so
I forgot how little you played 3D platformers. So yeah, that could have been my bad too, but you know, it's good that you fail a challenge every now and then.
Yeah,
because okay. Then we get to hear you rap.
Oh yeah,
and it's so beautiful. Yeah.
So I was inspired this week by a lady named Marie Antoinette. Do you remember her?
Didn't she have her head chopped off or something?
I don't know, but she was the one that's famous for the quote, "Let them eat cake."
Okay.
And so I was inspired by that for this week's rap.
Okay. Well, let's hear it.
All right. Princess Peach is in the house. Literally, I'm stuck in this house. Bowser is a jerk, we play in cat and mouse. Mario, if you save me, I'll be your spouse. Jump in the paintings and get those stars. Then the whole world could be ours. Eating mustard out of jars. Driving around in expensive cars. Run, jump, slide and fly. Shoot yourself into the sky. Use your skills, don't be shy. How you become my type of guy. Bowser is a fool, make no mistake. Princess Peach says, let them eat cake. Let them eat cake. Let them eat cake. Princess Peach says, let them eat cake.
Nikki, are you hungry for cake or something?
Yeah. I might go bake a cake after we stop recording this episode.
Nice.
Any flavor you want?
That's a great inspiration. Should always be inspired by cake.
Cake, 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 cake.
But yeah, good job with the rap this week. Aw,
thanks, babe. I tried to make it a little funny.
Yeah.
In the mustard out of jars line, that was an homage to you.
Oh, thank you. Wait, what?
Because you always throw in random lines like that.
Oh, okay. I thought it was going
to
be
like,
because
go to
I...
go to the cafe, try some sorbet.
I thought you were going to say because I eat mustard straight from the jar. I'm like...
No. But mustard out of jars is fancy. That's fancier than squeeze mustard.
Yeah, so that's true. Yeah. Jar
that's
mustard.
That's how you know you're classy.
It's pretty fancy.
Do you have any gray poupon? All right. So... Oh my God, Eric, we didn't even mention that the next episode, we're going to have a guest host.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to have our friend Ibanez on.
Oh, yeah. Ibanez is a friend of mine from improv, so you know he's going to be a good guest. He also does a lot of Twitch streaming, and he's this all-around cool gamer dude. His son's name is Link. Also, so that you know, oh, nice. You know he's cool. So, next episode, are you ready to hear what game we're going to be playing?
Yeah.
All right, let me open up the email. Clickety-click-click. All right. It says...
Wait. Do you want to make guesses about what you think it's going to be?
I already saw it, so do you want to make some guesses?
I'm not sure I know Ibanez well enough to guess.
I mean, his son's name was Link. You think you might pick a Zelda game?
Yeah, maybe it's a Zelda game.
All right, well, clickety-click-click. It says, oh, thank you for the invite to be on your show. I'm excited and have been waiting for a reason to replay through this game. The game is The Evil Within 2014.
Cool. Yeah, so a good horror game.
Yeah. So the challenge is, it says, there are lockers in the game that you have to find keys for. Challenge being to open them all. Okay, we have to open all the lockers.
Yeah, I have no idea if that's like hard or if that's like you just do that if you beat the game, or I guess we'll find out.
Me either. It would be funny if this was just a really clever way of beating the game. Like all the lockers are at the very end of the game or something. Oh, then there's a tag along email that he sent a few days later. It says, amendment to the challenge. No idea when you both normally play this game, but if this works for you, I also challenge you to play the game when the sun is down and all the lights are off.
Ooh.
So at night in the dark.
Yeah. Do you ever play games at night in the dark, Nikki? Or do you always play during the day?
Not usually. Mostly because I fall asleep too early, like an old lady. But
you could always do the opposite where you just get up super early.
That is actually more common. I'll wake up early in the morning and it'll still be dark.
Yeah.
I don't know since we have to share the same console, I'm not sure if that will really work for us, but I'll try my best to play as much in the dark as I can.
Yeah, same here.
All right. I'm excited. It sounds scary, and I like scary games.
Yeah, I actually, as someone who doesn't like horror movies, I actually really do like horror games for some reason. I have no idea why, but maybe because you have more control in a game. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I always like having a guest. It's fun.
Yeah, and they always pick something that you or I might not ever pick.
Exactly. I've never heard of this game, so I wouldn't even know to pick it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thanks, Ibanez. All right, well, we'll see everybody next time.
Yeah. See you guys next week.
Bye. Or
2 weeks.
Bye.
Two weeks from now.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. 'Cause if you like this episode, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or rate us on Spotify. We'd also love to know what you think about Mario 64. Did you play it as a kid? Did you play it as an adult? What'd you think? Let us know on Instagram. And again, thanks for listening. Bye!